This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, welcome to it. It's the weekly mashup with myself, Dimitri Masha, and my gorgeous but taken co-host, Candace Mama.
Definitely not taken, but it is Candace Mama. Hello,
definitely
everybody.
That's what we had a conversation about.
This was a pre-show conversation. I don't know why you're bringing my business on here again.
I got to let the people know so that, you know what, guys. Okay.
I am actively dating people.
Call off the hounds, guys. It's over. If you didn't do anything about this situation with Candy 3 months ago, it's too late for you now. You took too long, player.
Oh, my
goodness. You
should have
jumped in when you had the chance.
I am not taking that.
I have seen this guy's photos, okay? I'm not going to name names. And he's hot. He's a good-looking guy. Like,
Amanda. Even I was like, this is what you do.
You know when you feel
me?
That pang of just, like, as a man, you feel, I don't know if it's envy and jealousy mixed in with a little bit of that, just a little bit of, wow, if I was a girl, I'd date him too. And then you feel bad about that. You're like, but you know, no.
We are not dating.
I'm not like that.
Oh, my goodness. We are not dating.
High five.
Stop it.
High five.
You're on a monologue.
No. I'm like, I'm proud of you, Candy.
Don't be proud because there's nothing to be proud of.
I hope you make this one work.
No, stop.
Because this is the kind of guy. This is the kind of guy that I could actually roll with.
I'm dying inside.
Listen, do you mind if I just take him with me? I'm going out tonight and I think I might need him too. You know,
I'm so dying inside
because I wanted to get a good table at this
just
restaurant.
Stop it.
All right,
stop it, guys. Just for clarity, it is someone I am not dating. We are just friends, having
okay. All right, anyway,
friend stuff.
I love that song that we came in with. I don't know if you guys
are
listening to that.
Used to know.
Yeah, you know,
I love that song.
It always.
Somebody.
Don't you think, like, how does that work? Or it does work in real life. Have you ever bumped into someone, like an ex, that you were, like, tight with? Like, you were, like...
You're like my moon and my star, baby.
And then you bump into them at the mall, and it's like, that's somebody I used to know.
Right?
And you're just like, you literally, you have no feelings. You have nothing. Yeah. There's nothing there. You actually hope they don't even see you, so you don't have to say hello. But when you do say hello, there's you don't even feel bad. You just say a hello, like, to another human being.
Yeah.
I think that's really sad, though, because, like, it's really over. You know it's over.
You know what
it's like
it is
that.
About life, right? I mm-hmm. always feel like, especially in relationships, being the active dater that I am,
mm-hmm.
I think the saddest part is, you know, you share so much with this individual, you know, and you guys start connecting, you know, in your own special way because every relationship is different, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, you can't open up to this person anymore. And it's literally, you're just somebody I used to know.
Yeah.
Because I'm the
what
kind
are we
of person.
Talk about?
Yeah, I'm the kind of person who wants to be friends with my exes. Like, I
Why?
Always want to be friends because I'm not bitter. Like, I'm just like, I want to see you happy. I want to see you moving on. I want to see you
and
doing.
And then get the invite to his wedding.
I'd love that if that was possible. But I mean, none of my exes want to be ex. I've only got one ex that I'm friends with.
Well,
so
that's why I guess you're the queen of reconciliation. That's our theme for today, people. So please, let us know how you feel about it. Hit us on our WhatsApp line 079-748-2090.
Yeah.
People you used to, and we're talking across not just ex-boyfriends or ex-girlfriends, friends, and even
colleagues.
Yeah,
you were
colleagues.
Close to.
You know, like that ex-boss as well.
Yeah, and
that teacher that said
so
you'd never amount to nothing.
I love that.
You know
I love those.
Even family. You know that cousin that you like avoid and you never want to see again.
Yep.
You can reconcile with them, and the people on your street. I think I need to reconcile with one of my neighbors. Well, not that I ever knew the neighbor.
Oh, damn.
But, you know.
Okay, well, you got a lot of people. Like,
we've hit a sore spot now where it's like before we tried, like we'd wave at each other at the gate. Now it's sort of like, oh, there's that guy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Not even hey.
Okay.
Okay. So to kick us off, I think we should just go into a place where we can really get in the mood. And here's something that Candy discovered. I love this song. It's awesome. Just for you.
Will you Jesus somlandela yonke indawo somlandela somlandela Jesus lapho eyakhona somlandela.
Oh yeah, I hope you're in the spirit of reconciliation. It's almost Christmas time.
Oh wow.
And even if you're not in the spirit, that it's like you're going to have to reconcile because you're going to see some people you don't want to see, especially family members.
You know, okay, firstly, that song is amazing.
It's amazing. Love is Calling. Yes, that is by Grace Point. Yeah.
Yes, and they actually, people should actually go and check it out. I'll give you guys more details later in the
show. There's a new EP that's just come out as well. Yes,
and they're recording it. I'm just going to get all the details for you guys and I'll tell you guys by the end of the show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but I love them. I love them. I love that song.
I think they're super dope.
Love is Calling, Grace Point. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just think that so many things have happened this week, all over the place. I found myself, which is something I don't do, watching news all the time, like 24/7. Like I'm on ENCA, like 24/7, just watching news.
You and my mother could have like a tea party with that ish.
But dude, it's so dramatic. Have you been watching that Life is a Dimeni case with Miss Manamela?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God.
I've actually been so buried in trying to avoid the news and just everything that's happening. I mean, I saw that Bob left, but I mean, really, like, did Bob
finally.
Like, I love what Trevor Noah said. Like, you don't really pull a coup on someone that's 94. You just don't wake them up.
Yeah. That's actually what happened. Because, Bob was like, I'm not going. And then they were like, okay, what do we do now? You know, it was actually very awkward for a while.
Yeah.
Because Bob was like not going anywhere.
He wasn't. No, but you know what I love about Bob? And this is actually one thing that gets me every time. The fact that he was just like, listen, now that I'm about to die, my wife is taking over. The Mugabe name will go on. And I was like, wow. Like, he has no shame in his game. No. You've got to love it.
Bob is like, listen, this is how things are going to work, everybody. And if they don't work that way, well, stuff you guys.
Yeah, no, you'll be fine. You'll survive.
Yeah.
That is, that's savage.
So that's happened. And then I was watching Lynn Brown, take the stand, right?
Okay. And Lynn Brown, lady who had to keep asking for the bathroom breaks.
Lynn Brown is gangster. No, she didn't ask for no bathroom breaks. Oh, okay. She didn't care.
She was like, oh, you don't know who I am.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
I mean, first of all, she looks like one of those apartheid era, like someone who used to sell arms to South American countries where they had coup d'etats every other week. She looks like that guy.
I went all the way.
She looks like she just needs a cigarette and she'll tell you where to get off. You know what I mean? And she was telling them all where to get off. Basically, people were coming and they were like, yeah, we were there together and we were with the Guptas at your house. And she's like,
who house?
Nah, that didn't happen.
Why
would that person lie? Like, I don't know. Did you ask that person?
Yo,
she's hardcore, dude. Is she? She's hardcore. And then when they asked her, her partner,
yes,
got a Land Rover from the Guptas, right?
Okay.
They're like, so you didn't know that your partner got a Land Rover from the Guptas? She's like, I knew my partner got a Land Rover. I don't ask questions where she got it from.
None of my business.
None of your business. That's personal stuff.
That is deep, eh?
And that was it. Yeah.
But you know what's scary about the news lately?
What is scary about the news?
It's worse than actually watching a movie. Because at least in a movie, you know there's a happy ending. You pretty much know the plot line, plot twist. No, this time it's just like we're kind of just swinging with it, man.
Yeah.
Like it's just going.
Anything can go anywhere at the moment.
Yeah, no. don't hedge your bet on anything.
Have you looked at all the memes and what people are saying about listen, Jacob, this could happen to you.
I have seen that, but
but that will never happen.
I don't think he's that. I don't think he's afraid. If I was him, I wouldn't be afraid.
Nah.
I'd be like, but I laughed at y'all straight up to your face, though. Yeah. Come on. And you guys did nothing.
And who's going to run the coup? Moosey. Moosey's going to be like, Oaks, here's what's going to happen. Okay.
He's going to put on his Tuesday. Black accent. Stop it. He's respectful. He will put on a black accent.
I've never heard him.
You've never heard him? You've missed out. He puts on the most black accent when he speaks to black people.
Oh.
Oh my, it's disgusting. He'll be like, I am one of you.
Okay.
That's who I am.
It always sounds
it is the weirdest thing.
One
I
of those
can't even
American
do it.
Actors, in a struggle movie, a South African struggle movie.
Yeah, he's so savage. But anyway, Moosey would not, I would not follow. Let me just put it out there. Please don't call my house.
Let's see what we can do on Twitter. I'll send a message or something.
I'll tweet.
Coup is on, guys. Like, have a good one.
Hashtag.
Wish you all the hashtag.
Hashtag free taking Africa. Over.
Yeah,
hashtag new president.
I'll just say hashtag. Yeah.
Hashtag finally South African stand up.
I was busy that day. I had to go to the mall. You know, I was like, I had to go do
Black
some shopping.
Friday.
It was Black Friday, though. It was.
Like, yeah, no, I'm
I would
not,
be like
I'm
angry at him
it.
For like doing it on Black Friday, like, but you knew, like, that
like,
was
did you
a
not want
day.
Us to attend?
Yeah,
like, really?
Yeah,
like,
or
who
I had a meeting,
targeting?
You know what I mean?
Like I'd be
yeah.
like, who are you targeting?
Are you targeting?
Clearly, not our people
yeah.
because we like a good sale.
Okay, well, tell me, are you prepared for Black Friday? Because I see this and I'm like, do people prepare for Black Friday? Because it always takes
well,
me by
yes.
surprise.
I've got like my shoes ready, like my running shoes, and like, you know, really? You can never be too prepared. I've got a beanie.
Have you got like money though?
No, no, that's the only part I've not sorted out. I've not sorted out the financial
I'm
element
so
of Black Friday.
Ready. I have no money.
No, me.
This
like,
is the one time. This like everything's been going well, and then now it's like, but guys, not this Friday. Can we postpone it?
Can we postpone? Right? No, but the biggest thing with Black Friday is that I found that at like I went to Zara right because last mm-hmm. year Black Friday, and I was like, I'm so happy. Like everything's gonna. And then they took out stuff that I was like, I didn't even know you guys made this quality of stuff. It is so disgusting. So yeah. then I was mad. And then like people start being really mean. Like people are really mean on Black Friday.
Why?
Like this lady. Okay, so I'm a pretty average size in like the store. So
oh
like,
yeah, for Zara. Because yeah. Zara sizes be small.
Yeah. So then like we saw the same jacket. So clearly I'm like, but girl, you saw I was here
yeah.
first. Like
okay.
you saw
All
me
right.
staring
right.
at the jacket.
Okay.
Then she was staring at me like, okay, it's about to go down. And I'm like, am I willing to get beat for a jacket? Because I'm like, I trust my boxing ability,
yeah.
but like she looked like she had nothing to lose, and
yeah.
I was like,
but what like, was it a jacket she could actually fit
it?
In?
No, yeah, she looked like, you know, if she'd really
you,
were,
you guys were
in.
About the same weight class.
No,
really.
She was a little bigger, but I like oversized clothes, so it
okay.
was fine.
All right, so and you let then, the jacket go.
No, I grabbed the jacket because I was feeling gangster that day.
Okay,
and then I just started strutting away very, very quickly.
Yeah. You're like, yes, I've made my point now.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going to walk away
yeah.
really fast.
And, no, I started strutting towards people who looked like they had moral integrity and they'd protect me.
Not
she
on
had
Black
to like
Friday.
Beat me. Yeah, no, it was terrible.
There's no
and
such
then,
thing.
You know what's the worst part? I ended up leaving the jacket anyway because the fit was awful.
You denied
so I was
another
like,
human.
No. All I was thinking is I was going to get beat for a jacket that didn't even look good on me. But yeah.
Well,
anyway.
Look, we're supposed to talk a bit
so
of reconciliation. We've got a really amazing surprise for you guys coming up in a couple of minutes.
I'm so excited.
So I just want to talk about this and then go straight to that.
Okay.
Because maybe we'll just incorporate it into the whole thing.
Okay.
You Tell know me. What I mean? So I've been thinking
yeah.
a lot.
Okay.
Like, I know we had the TRC and stuff, but I think we really need to do it again.
Another TRC?
Yeah. Like, and this time do it like a thorough one. You know, like everyone needs to say sorry.
Who do you think is going to hit it?
I don't know. I think we should have Floyd Shivambo hit it. We need someone like hardcore, you know?
Okay, so what...
We have to
what,
have the EFF hit
What
it
do
up.
You want the resolution to be?
I just feel like as a nation, we're so close to either being reconciled totally or not.
Yeah, disintegration.
I really believe that we are at a crossroads right now.
Mm-hmm.
But some big things need to happen either way for that... Either we're going to tip over and it's going to be like, it's over. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
We're not walking this road together.
Yep.
Or it's going to tip over and everyone's going to trust everyone. I mean, if you think about it, like, do you ever feel like you can really trust people like the DA?
No.
Like, really? Because I always feel like...
But I'm like, I'm black.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
I'm like,
you're not fooling me with that Moosey
like,
My Money stuff. Because
like,
I know what you guys are going to do once
like,
you get
like,
this country
back.
Like,
don't try and trick me. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm black. Like, I'm definitely not trusting
that
DA.
For me says that we have to have this TRC. Like, because we're judging them.
We just
we're
need a new
them.
Party. Because I feel like the DA needs to, like, completely just go up in flames. And then there needs to be a new party reborn in its place. Because I just feel like the DA, firstly, we can't let go that you were the old, you know, apartheid.
Yeah,
like, let's just put it out there.
Let's put it out there.
Like, you know, you guys just, like, rebranded.
Yeah,
you know, like, let's appeal to more of the black people.
Mm.
But I mean, and then you got Moosey, and then Moosey was like, I'm gonna marry a white girl, y'all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for interracial
but
dating.
I mean,
y'all,
he did his part for social cohesion, right?
He did. Me and Moosey are on the same page on that one. I feel like all of us should date
outside
our
race group.
Who are you
to judge?
I'm not judging. I am dating outside my
you're
race
like,
group.
Because the way you were talking about it first, it sounded like a black girl who was like, how dare he?
How
you know?
Dare he?
And then meantime...
No, like, they can have him.
Moosey,
we're
like,
not fighting for him.
You were never in Moosey's... Like, if Moosey came up to you, you were like, no, swipe
we used to
left,
train at the same
swipe
place.
Swipe right or whatever you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I would have swiped left.
Yeah, you would have swiped left, right?
But it that is not the point, okay? Stop trying to derail my point here. Okay. I'm just saying that we just need, like, a leader who's a bit not him.
Yeah. I think a cross between Juju... And him would be good.
Yeah, I mean, if they could have like a baby and then like, you know.
Okay. Anyway. So,
okay.
Yeah. But anyway, this Christmas, I'm definitely I am going to try this festive to be a better human with the people I know in terms of the reconciliation thing.
Okay.
Some of you though out there who are like, yay, pick me. It's not gonna happen with you. Some of you. Like, I don't make friends with exes.
Who's gonna say pick me?
I am not that kind
of
guy.
You exes think really and highly I, of yourself.
Nah, hey, you
people
know
out there lining look, up look, like, I hope you. You'd forgive me.
No. I think it, all my it? Exes feel that way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. I definitely think so.
Okay.
I know it for a fact.
Okay,
I know
girl.
It.
Yes.
Look at
boo.
Me, girl.
Yes, boo. Yes. Claim it. Yes.
Okay. But anyway.
You think
guys,
they'd still want you back if you didn't have money, team?
Definitely not.
Okay. Let's play the song. Let's see.
Oh yeah, this is the song of South Africa right now. It's the biggest track in SA at the moment, and we are so honored to have in our studio Sanel musician Sanel.
Yes, sir.
Or Sanele.
Sanele, yes.
How are you doing, bro?
I'm all right, and yourself?
I'm good, man.
Yes.
It's good to have you in the studio. Thanks for coming through.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I've been dying to have you in studio because this is my song of the year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how many times I play this song. I play it in the mornings when I shower. I play it when I'm about to get out.
I can tell you this,
house.
My neighbors hate me. Because I've got on repeat and I blast it.
Yes,
I blast
the
it. Come play quietly. Especially when the bass kicks in.
Right.
Then the other day I was in Sunning Hill at the shopping center, right?
Yeah.
And this dude in the Golf parks next to me and he's like, he just sits in his car and he just blasted in the parking lot. I was like, yeah,
you
no,
gotta love
some gassy behavior, but at least he chose the right song. Yeah. It's all good. It's
no.
all good.
For that. But can I tell you, honestly, and I have to give them a shout out. The people that introduced me to your song,
yes,
they are French. Wow. They work for the French embassy.
Wow.
And they were like, oh my gosh, we want to play your song. And I'm looking at these French oaks and I'm like,
yeah.
They're about to play me some Merci.
Yeah.
And then I'm listening to this beat. Like, and they're like, we don't know what he's saying though, but it is amazing.
Wow.
And I'm like, shut up. And then like, we've sent it to everyone back home. And I was like, shut up.
Yeah, man.
So,
that's amazing.
So your fan base expands far and wide.
That's actually how we found out. I even found out about the song because of you, Candy, and that particular story. Wow. You came in and said, there's a song and this French guy. I was like,
hey, that's the story. Man. That's the story.
And then she played it and I was like,
but that's a South African song.
Okay. And then after that I was like, I gotta download this song right now. Like, I know it.
Thank you so much, Candy.
So now amazing. That you got this amazing song, what was the inspiration? Like, how did this come about?
Wow.
You know. Where did it start?
Yeah. Wow, well, let's first start with the recording of the song.
Yeah.
Last year November.
Mm-hmm. Last year November already. It's a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So production March.
Mm.
First of all, because Sam wrote the song and he sang, I was like, okay, mild December, okay. And then I sat on the song, I was sitting on those vocals, I was like, okay, wait, let me try and put a new emotion behind the whole thing. So then yeah, that happened. I was not even sure the song was gonna be this big, getting an interview here. Yeah.
You know what I love about the song? Yeah. What you've managed to do in the production is you've added a very, it's like an African flavor to it.
Yeah.
And it's not just a South African flavor. I mean, it goes all the way East Africa, especially with the chords that you've used in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the bass kicks in, we know that it's a South African song,
of course,
right?
Yes.
And then as the song goes later, we have the organ, which is a very much, it's like almost a makanga type feel to it, which I really love, but all the elements come together so well, and Sam's voice that then it becomes like an international track, but it's proudly South African, you know. Anyway,
thank you. I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah, you are like, so, no, but actually, let's talk about the song for a little bit, because I think before we went on air, I was like, but who does not have the money in this relationship?
Yeah, what's
here?
Going on?
Yeah.
Let us know who's
it? Who I got my.
Yeah,
so I thought it was the girl.
Most people think it's the guy. It's the way Sam wrote the song. It's very dope. It's the guy who doesn't have money.
Yeah.
The lady is actually singing basically telling her friends, which I still love this guy, even though he's broke, doesn't have anything. Blah, blah, blah. So that's the whole story. Okay. Yeah, it's a twist. Cool.
Yeah, it's a twist, eh?
Yeah.
But utanda yonke into, utana mali. But I mean, also that's an aspiration.
Yes. Like, yeah.
You can still love things.
Yeah.
Okay, but not in a negative way, because I think we turn that into a negative way. And to succeed, you have to have some sort of desire. You know what I mean?
True.
Like if you don't want to drive a Porsche. Chances are you probably won't. It doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And we look at a lot of material success as it's just about showing off.
Yeah.
Yes. But at the end of the day,
it's ambition. It's whatever ambition. You strive for.
Yeah.
But I also think that the important thing about the song is the fact that it is talking to society's narrative. You know, I think it came out at a time when in South Africa we were talking about, you know, the sugar daddy phenomenon and, you know, how younger guys who were actually hustling were not getting the girls they wanted, because the girl would be like, boo, I'll see you in 2 years. You keep hustling. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for the guy who's got some.
I can relate to the song. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. No CP left me.
I see you, girl. I see you. Completely. Yeah, and so that's what the narrative is talking about. Don't you think? I'm like, what are you doing?
No, totally. And also, I find with what you're saying, like with that narrative, talking about that, it's also helped us remember again that it's not just about the money.
Yeah. Yes.
Like relationships are not about that, guys.
Yep. Yep.
That's always nice to have, but it's not something that should be the basis of your relationship, what someone has or doesn't have. But for us at the moment and where we are, I want to get back to the story. Who is Sanele and where are you from?
Sanele is a DJ, producer, singer, songwriter. All the way from KZN Mooi River, a very beautiful small town.
Oh wow!
In the Midlands.
I love the Midlands.
It's very nice there.
Which side of the Midlands? Between PMB and Durban, or just after PMB on your way up to GP?
Between Pietermaritzburg on all the way to GP.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
There's a toll gate. You can't miss Mooi River. It's Mooi Plaza.
Mooi Plaza, right there.
That's where I'm from.
And what made you go into music? Like,
as a little kid in Mooi River. Like, what was? Did you have that ambition as a young kid? I want to be a musician, man.
I was a rapper. So my grandma, I was like, hey, dude, you're going to school. I went there first year. I was like, this ain't. And I'm like, okay, then what's next? And then I was home for like 2 years making beats. In his bed.
How did you start though? I mean, did you start by learning to play an accordion or play a piano or a guitar?
It's computer based, so anything is just electronic. So I was home.
But here's the thing, right? A lot of young guys who want to go into music, they don't have access to, you know, keyboards or pianos and that sort. So they go into the computer based stuff. They also complain about the fact that just getting the software, the hardware. How did you do it? I want to hear your story so that you can inspire other young people. I know a lot of young people who want to do what you do.
I got a trial version of Fruity Loops. Everybody can access it. There's internet to know how to get Fruity Loops. So I was home. I asked my granny to actually buy me a computer.
How did you make sure that you...
Back then, it was really not a problem because there was Mixit, I think.
Yeah.
And we just used airtime, a little bit of airtime, and you'd be able to chat with people. But if you want to really work on your craft, you can't be out there be all chatting and need to spend time on whatever
your craft.
On your craft. So that actually gave me a chance back then, because I really worked on it for 2 years, and then I got a deal in 2011 at Demo Music. That's when I moved to Johannesburg.
Oh wow.
And that's when I worked with Boosie, and then that's when I did a song for Ishela. Also produced for Demo, Cliche.
No, wow.
And then this is my first single under my own record label, which I own with my friend here on the left. Some of you might not see him.
Hey, friend.
Hey,
friend. That's your friend's name.
He does exist.
Hey, Potato.
Okay, well, let's go back a little bit. In terms of where you started as a producer and the people that you produced, I mean, it must have been overwhelming. You've just come in.
Yeah.
You're from a small town in KZN. Yeah. You come to the big city, Ekoli, Baba. And you're meeting all these people that are literally your idols, right?
Yeah.
What was the experience of tell us the first time when you walked into the studio, or you were in the studio and someone walked in, like you're working with, who did you work with first? That was like
Boosie.
Boosie is like, she's a diva.
Yeah.
You know, and diva in a positive way, not a diva she likes it. But like, she's a proper, like,
a songstress.
Yeah, she's a songstress. She earned her dues, you know. Yeah. What was that like?
But it was cool. Matter of fact, Boosie, I was like, okay, this is not the Boosie I always see on TV.
Yeah.
Why being nice?
Yeah. What do you want from me?
Yeah. I was like, okay. But the first time I saw, I was like, oh, wait, hold on. I'm about to record Boosie.
Yeah.
The Boosie. I was like, okay.
I'm getting places.
You're going somewhere. You kind of, you made it.
Yeah. So I was just pressing the R button, which is for record. Demo was doing the most direction for whatever songs. But I was learning at the process. I was like, okay, this is how all the verse here, all chorus here, bridge. Da, da, da. So
you were literally learning. It's like it was your first day on the job, man.
Yeah, it was.
So no, but that's unbelievable because I think a lot of people think that because you said, okay, look, I stayed at home for 2 years and I was just trying to get this thing right, that, oh, you know, then it means that I can just do it too.
Yeah.
I just need to download the software and it'll do the work for me. And you're like, it takes talents. You know, it takes that ear. It takes like really putting things together. Yeah. Just because you're not working on an instrument doesn't mean you're not actually compiling a good beat.
Well, that's the thing, you know? Right? That's what I want to ask. So like the job of a producer, when you go into the studio, what do you do?
Oh, it depends. Sometimes, it's experimental, first of all, because I just go in. Sometimes it's not the tempo. Maybe the song playing in the background, maybe it's 125. I'll go there, I'll do a 115 song, very slow.
Yeah.
Push it up. Okay. Then sometimes it's just the vocals, and then I have to work around the vocals. Like Agana Mali, the vocals were there. I did a little bit of a composition for Sam just for him to record, but at the end of the day, like, I had to really sit down and listen to what he was trying to say because it sounded so simple. Mm. And then I was like, wait, this
is my question. So had he already recorded the vocals and you just tweaked them and you worked on them, or did he have to come back again?
Or you wrote the song, or you just wrote the song and you needed to put the melody in place.
First of all, it's the first part that you hear, that growling. I don't know what I might call it.
That's
Sam's, when you know you're about to go in.
Yeah, that's Sam's line. It's just a guy do, and then I pitched it down, so it sounds a little bit weird. So there was a melody. I created just basic beats, and then you recorded the vocals, and then I just sat on it until March, and then that's when I really started going through it, starting muting other things. I was like, no, this kick is not working, this pad, this keyboard, this. So it was just
tell me something, like, when you're making music, right? When you listen back to a track you've just made before it gets released to the public, it's just you and the musician. Deep down, do you know I've just created a hit?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, did you know, like,
after this, you're like, we have just got ourselves a hit?
Yeah, wow. For Agana Mali, it's very weird. I was not sure, but I was like, wow, there's something. There's something there. I was not sure, because the thing is, I wanted a single that was going to represent what I DJ mostly, because I'm an Afro house DJ.
Okay.
So I was like, wait, maybe this might throw people off. I was like, wait, you're an Afro pro producer, so you can't come into our world. So I was a bit scared. I was like, okay, it's a good song, maybe, but it's not representing me. Yes. So it kind of took away the whole, I don't know, maybe thinking the song is a hit.
Yeah.
I was like,
So what genre would Agana Mali fall into? Because I thought it was actually Afropop.
Yeah.
It's not.
Well, I'll call it electronic.
Really?
Yeah, because I fuse a lot of things. There's deep house, there's maskandi, there's bakanga.
Oh, wow.
There's a little bit of what is that? It's electronic music, because all those chords, it's just, I listen to a little bit of electro, and I go back to what South Africa, we as South Africans, I'd listen to a little bit of Brenda Fass there, the late Brenda Fass. So it's a mixture of just, it's a fusion. And then usually when I go to maybe on iTunes to check the genre of the song, usually they'll be like, oh, electronic. I'm like, oh, okay. But I'd love to call it world.
Well, yes, because I think so. Like, it really does resonate with anyone who listens to the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've seen it to some of my American friends as well. Yeah. And I mean, everyone who listens resonates with it the same way.
Yeah.
You know, so it doesn't speak to just, because, you know, there's a lot of music that is country specific or like, no, listen. And people are like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you guys get it because it's y'all music.
But here's the thing, you know, and that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Does that help or hinder a song like that?
Yes.
Because it can't be boxed, right? Yeah. So we can't just like send it overseas and say, This is South Africa.
Yeah.
This is
but
South
it's
Africa.
Not.
But it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I think that really makes it grow, because a lot of people are just taking it. They're like, wow, I love it.
Yes.
And it's, nobody's like, oh, this is a deep house song.
Yes.
Eh?
Everyone is like, it's our genre. Like, I'm sure the electro people are like, yeah, but this is an electro song. The Maskandi people and the Makaya people are like,
but listen, it's our song.
Like, no, it's Afro pop. It's our song.
Yes, yes.
True. So, yeah.
Okay, but when you release a song like this, I can only assume that there's a lot of pressure for the next hit. Do you feel that?
No.
Okay.
No, because I've been waiting for a question like this because I've always wanted to answer it. Because the way I create music is like painting a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So you let people criticize, you allow people to say, oh, no, this is actually good. So it's like I painted a picture. Mm-hmm. Of Ranamal, and people are like, oh my god, we love it. And then I'm gonna paint another picture, and then if people don't like it, I'll be like, oh, it's cool, it's art.
Yeah,
I'm allowing you guys
to. I love that.
So when do we get the full like
album?
Because I'm like
dying
for this, and it has to happen now. Cause
before people kick us out of our neighborhoods, damn.
I have to play another song.
You know what it feels like? Yeah. It's Nkalagata for my. You know how Nkalagata refuses to die?
Yeah.
Every white function, every societal function.
Yeah. 2018. Next year, that's when I'm dropping a lot of things. I'm under the label, L World Music.
Okay.
I've got four artists already.
Wow.
I'm working on their singles as we speak right now.
What kind of genres are you going for there?
It's not genre based, it's just music.
That's what
we're trying to do. The tempos are different. There's a little bit of house, there's R&B, the 80s, that American vibe. There's S-Tone on my right now. He's one of the artists.
Nice.
Got a very nice song that you created together.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right, let's talk to S-Tone for a second. Since you're here, buddy, come close to the mic, man. So what can we expect to hear from you next year? What are you going to drop first?
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say what's up to everybody listening.
What's up, S-Town? What's up? they don't know you yet, but they're about to. They're not even ready.
Such a great pleasure to be here. Thanks a lot, man. I'm with Sanel right here, man. Wonderful guy, wonderful producer. S-Tone is a vocalist, first of all, and a songwriter. So I've been doing my thing for a bit. So this year I met this guy. So what's coming through from me is a single. Early next year. We're targeting first quarter of next year. So
what can we expect? What kind of single are you coming out with?
I'll just say, we're actually not sure, because to be honest with you, we're working on a couple of songs and then we're going to choose from them. So of the five, there's something like house, there's down tempo stuff, you know, on some
mood setting stuff.
You know what I mean? So, it's most likely to be bordering around dance.
Okay. And that's the thing I've always wanted to ask. How do you guys, as musicians and producers and whatever, pick? That was a big P.
Yeah. I'm like, pick!
Because this is an important one. How do you pick the song that's going to be the lead single?
Yes.
Gosh.
That's difficult, eh?
See, I mean, for Ranamali, I didn't have any other song that I really wanted to be.
That was it.
That was like, there it is.
It was just good timing.
Yeah.
Good timing.
And the Petrel, the manager, who was there. I was being a creative about it. I was like, no, I'm not going to release this. No, there's no way. I was like, no, you are releasing this song now.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. This song is coming.
You have to come out.
Oh, thank goodness to him.
Sent it to 3 sound engineers, came back. I was like, not happy. That's crazy. How crazy.
So you would still like to tweak it a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, sure. But so you don't, I never actually thought of that. So you as a musician, when you listen back to your song, I'm sure as much as there is pride, you're like, but it could have been so much better.
I was comparing it to my mix, my final mix.
What do we got now? Is it your final mix or is it someone else's?
Mix.
It's good. But that's what we call divine dissatisfaction that all artists kind of have to have. You're always like, I can do better, I'll do better next time. And here's the thing though, the journey from releasing the album or the song and then having a song that just is played everywhere, because that's not easy. Did you have to put in place? Was it just a great song and people just picked it up, or did you really have to go
marketing
to each radio station and say, please play this thing, I'm begging you, I'm gonna sit here until you play it, you know?
Gotta give it to credit to Timiam, my manager. Okay, I'm gonna go back to Pat Petrello. We released the song in the bus. Greyhound on our way to KZN.
Oh, shush.
So what, you released it on like the laptop for the people on the bus? Yeah, or what?
No, we were in the bus. Yeah. So yes. we uploaded the song on iTunes. We're passing on our way to KZN.
So you guys just uploaded it onto iTunes.
We asked for my brother a credit card so we can boost.
Yes.
Okay. On Facebook.
That's so
that's
amazing.
Yeah. That's a great story.
Like, hey, dude, we've, you know, Arsenal Mali.
The irony of it all.
So I was like, yo, dude, we want to boost here on Facebook only. Like,
no, but the thing is, right, that's releasing it on iTunes.
Yeah.
But now it's a big radio hit as well. Mm. So the manager go out, Pat, and just make sure that, like, because I know how difficult it can be to
get
a song,
your song played
on the radio station.
True. It was just internet. We had the database on my DJs.
What?
We had the database for my radio stations, fortunately. Mm. So we were like, okay, let's upload it. And nobody was picking it up. And they were like, well, okay, maybe we need to go there and just
Back.
But
say hello.
Eventually radio was really picking it up. And then we were getting interviews, a couple of radio stations, and wow.
I suppose that the trick is once it's played on the radio, then people really love it.
Yeah.
You know. Because you can't stop it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some songs that you need to listen to over and over and over again before it really hits you.
Yeah.
Then there are other songs you just listen to once and you're like,
one
play it
time.
Again.
Yeah.
I just want to hear.
And how much pressure does that put on you though? Because now it's like you've got this hit. And we're just expecting hit after hit after hit. And isn't that the thing as well with being a producer, that do you give them something that sounds almost exactly like this?
Yeah.
And then, you know, or do you feed them something completely different and say, let's make a different dish this time?
Okay, this is what my vision is. I'm here to just create music.
Okay.
So whether it's going to be 105 or 125, up tempo, slow tempo, it really doesn't matter. So for me, really, there is a little bit of pressure, obviously. It's like, oh wow, suddenly your song is so great.
Yes,
do you think the next song is going to...
Yes.
But for me, it's just, I don't even know what I'm going to do once I sit in front of a computer. So it's just one of those. I just work. Whatever I find they inspire, Commodores, I'm like, oh, this is nice. This is a nice book.
Yes,
let me take this.
Yeah.
So it's just really... There is pressure, but there's no pressure. I don't know how to answer
that
question.
So, I love that. And I think, what is your vision? Like, I mean, you've got this, you know, track that's taken off, and I'm sure that you just could never have foreseen.
Yeah.
Does that give you, like, benefits, like, in creating, you know, and people who want to work with you? Is there, like, a perk? Is there a perk to releasing a song
of
like
course,
this?
Of course. I've been
I'm
getting
sure
a lot of calls.
I'm sure you've been inundated on WhatsApp and your DMs.
My DMs, yeah.
I like, that's how
big,
I got you.
Big
don't
guys,
don't diss
yeah.
the DM.
Yeah.
What's
like,
wrong with you?
Did he just inbox me and tell me my song is good? I'm like, wow, okay,
because he's like, listen, if you don't mind.
And you don't know how to answer this. I'm like, Pat, how do you answer this? Like, do I say thank you?
Yeah.
I'm too dry.
Yeah. Say thank you so much. I look forward to us working together soon.
Yeah. I love that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. I'm really happy with the whole thing. And it's just giving me a big... it's a chance, I guess.
Yes.
Because now I can really venture out to a lot of sounds. Because this is really slow. I've never made it, like, produced a song that is really slow, and people are really loving it. Oh,
yes.
Great!
So, it gives you permission to keep doing it
exactly. So, I can just push it up now. Like, oh, it's me still.
So, what you're saying is, like, before this, you mostly produced house, right?
Yeah. Afro house,
Afro
soulful.
House. Okay,
that's where I was at.
Do you ever do gom?
I tried, but I think the music thing, it just I don't know. Okay, gom is still music. I know I'm like a lot of black.
Black
I love
Twitter.
Gom, by the
way.
Black Twitter take you out.
I'm like, suddenly you said gom is not music.
next party, I will sit down for Ghana Man.
And gom is from KZN. That's where you're going this December.
I enjoy listening to it gom, but I really, really can't. I love like chords and stuff, and usually gom just use one line and just one note, which works for gom. It's cool, I enjoy it, but I can't.
It's not your thing.
It's not
All right, let's move on.
So I just want to know, so where do you see yourself going? So, because this is just the beginning.
World. That's why we call the company L World Music.
Yes.
So we want to create world music. I've been to a couple of countries now outside of South Africa. I've been to Botswana. I've been doing a lot of gigs in Botswana.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So Africa to the World, that's the title of the album. So
nice.
That's where I'm going. I just want to take the African sound, just twist it a little bit, the sound, and take
it's
it
time.
To the world. Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love it. And I think that the world has never been so ripe for South African potential. Right? Like from the African, path from Africa. Yes, exactly. Like Africa's just really taking over. You're actually starting to see our talent being recognized globally. So I think that is a beautiful thing. So I'm excited for that.
You know, sometimes I ask myself though, it's like South African music is a very high standard of musicality. Like there is some music like what you've done here, the musicality. And do you think that sometimes hinders when the West hears it and they go, but it's not what we expected. We expected it to be a little bit rougher, the mix to not be so good and stuff like that.
You want it to be more tribal.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
It was made in the bush.
Yeah. A lion in the background.
Yeah. A lion in the background.
I think right now, we're in a space where sometimes it's a problem is we are not exposed to what the West want from us now. We really don't know what's going on because they are coming for what we have. So basically, so they are coming for that Afro thing.
Yeah.
But see, I've watched this this docu Rafaela Guti.
Okay.
And he was talking about his song was not being played in America because they were too long.
Oh, yeah.
Of which I understand because it's Afro. It doesn't.
Afro it's not a 3 minute goes on. No, yeah,
it goes in.
Yeah.
It really goes in for 9 minutes. So I was like, okay, wait, hold on. Let's meet these guys halfway. Let me try and do a pop version of what we have.
Yeah, and you've done that though, because the song is like it has a beginning, middle, and conclusion, and it's wrapped up.
And then there's that timeline. Surprise
and it's
moment.
Got that Afro. The Afro is still there. So I really tried. I didn't want to lose the Afro thing because I understand what the late fella.
Is that something that you always look at as well in terms of your music composition? The structure. Structure, of course.
Before I made a lot of club music because club music really the structure is not important.
Right.
So I used to do a lot of that type of music, and then I was like, oh wait, hold on, let me work with vocals now. But since I worked with Boosie, I was like, oh, I gotta let Boosie shine.
As a producer,
because I used to just put more beats, put more sounds on it, and then she would just sink in there, and then she would not shine. So with this song, I was like, wait, hold on, let me just strip the whole thing now. And Sam is so good. He's pitch perfect. So it was easier for me to just manipulate and just do anything I want to do with the whole thing.
Yeah.
I love that. But I also think, just going back a little bit on the international market, I think if we've seen anything like Black Coffee and, you know, the biggest thing I feel is that not trying to fit a mold that you think they want and just producing content that's really good and that's really a high standard. And I mean, like what you're saying, like, I mean, there are small technical things, like I mean, you can't give them a 9 minute track like and the middle only comes like at 5 minutes 20 and it's like
just it's commitment. 1 minute
it's gotta cut you.
But I do think that if you keep doing what you're doing and you just keep going on that path, I mean, it should start it should appeal to the international market because they're like, damn, these people are really actually good at what they do.
The most amazing thing is the history now of just in South Africa is just distorted. We don't know what the from people from Zim what they did for us. We don't know what the Nigerian guys. So because I just discovered Fela, I knew about Fela for a very long time, but I didn't know Fela. I don't know if you get me.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, maybe I was like, wait, hold on. So this is so good. This is what I've been creating, but I've never seen it. Done this way.
Yeah.
So and then I got the story that his music was rejected because it was too long. I was like, whoa, no.
That's why we didn't get to listen to it.
So it never really reached us because we were just fed American music mostly. It's really sad. I was like, okay, we gotta change this whole thing.
And that's the thing, right? With collaborations like Fela and Hugh Masekela back in the day, worked together very closely. Hugh hung out with Fela for like, he went to his compound in Nigeria and he was there for like months and months just chilling. And I think we're getting there now where all of Africa is coming together with the East, the West, the South, where people are making collaborations with guys from Nigeria, people are making collaborations with guys from Tanzania, Malawi, Kenya, that sort of thing. So is that something that you're looking at doing
as well? Of course, totally. First of all, the album, I've got how many languages there? Maybe about 4 or 5.
Oh, wow.
Swati, Xhosa, Sotho, English. So I'm really trying to just start with South Africa at first. I didn't even hear what you're saying, but I love it. So
you see?
And then you take it up a little bit, like middle of the African couple of countries there and you just expand. Yeah. Basically.
I love it. It's so exciting.
Yeah. It is really exciting.
So you were saying 2018, beginning of 2018, yes, we should be expecting a full album.
Yeah. Actually, I'm done with the album. It's just now the time is not good.
Yeah, no, December. Don't release in December. Yeah, so people just want you to keep playing like Anamali. Of course. Like, just on repeat. Yeah,
that's also true though. Yeah. And that's something like, that as a musician, you have to be wary of, in terms of your business, right?
100%.
You've got a hit song. Let the hit song do its thing.
Yeah. Yes, don't try and force. Because there's nothing that makes me more angry. Yeah. I pay for a Mariah concert. She wants to give me her new album. No, but like, I want Honey. I want the hit. Yeah. I want Butterfly.
You know what's crazy about the whole thing about the media and the way they look at music? It's so crazy. I'm really honored and grateful for you guys to really call me in the studio because I'm a producer and I'm a DJ. Usually, guys,
we don't talk to you guys.
No.
We don't know who did the song.
Who made the beat? Yeah. Ah, beautiful.
Who's
the guy who said
I want that? Sam.
So it's a bit of a challenge. I've always seen this. I remember a collaboration between Ubusi and Heavy K because I was working with closely with Nobusi. So I never really, now I understand Heavy K, like maybe somehow he felt, oh, Ubusi's taking the song. But it's just the way the media is structured now. Like everybody's like, oh, beat maker, we know.
Yes. We want the forefront.
Yeah.
Like it's like, but it's amazing. That's why people like Timbaland, right?
Yeah.
He's so rare. Mm. Because only after Timbaland started releasing his own tracks where he was a vocalist, then he's like, but I've been making tracks for Aaliyah and everyone else. Yeah. And we're like, but Tim, man, damn, how did we forget you?
Yeah. So you know? It would be really great if we can change that structure a little bit. I guess it would take some time.
Yeah, it'll get there.
Look, at the end of the day, I think the audience is starting to get ready for it. The audience now wants to know the backstory. Who made this track? How did it go along? Because
we're so tired of the standard, just feed me music. I want to know the story.
Yeah.
And I think with the audience and us as the media becoming less and less about the tabloid. Like we want to tell the story of if we want to tell the story of Sam, it's always got to have a negative thing and then that's why he's coming. But because we don't know the producer, right? So we don't have any dirt. It's like, why are you here? You're going to tell us a positive story. Oh, you're a guy from KZN, you've made good. But that's the story, right? That is a story. Because there's some youngster out there who's like, I'll never make it. Because I'm in the wrong place.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
But then here you are.
Yep.
I love that. That's so important.
That's what I represent, like that hope for kids. Some of them are just scared of using our platforms because of language barriers sometimes. Said English thing. I'm like, Kotswana boys are really good. Sutu, Kosa, but they're just afraid. And they're good beat makers. They're good producers. They just even have 20 chances to. Yeah, that's how it is.
No, I love it. Yeah. And I think
we have to wrap it up. So what I want you to wrap it up with is tell us, if you were speaking to yourself, you are making those beats as a young man and you're still there in KZN, right? And you're probably like starting to feel like, I'm never going to make it or whatever. What would you tell yourself?
Wow. I felt like that a lot of times. After listening to those...
What would you tell yourself to encourage yourself?
Myself?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's a very hard question.
A tough question. Yeah.
It is. The thing is, I've been checking a lot of things on TV and stuff. And then... For me, at that time, if I were to encourage myself, I said, keep going. Try and work on your skills and on your craft until somebody listens to it. That was it for me. I was like, I'm waiting for somebody to just listen to one of my songs or all the songs I have because they could fit a DVD. It's a lot of songs.
Yes.
So I was like, I'm just waiting for somebody to just hear or listen. Just give me a chance. And then one guy gave me a chance with his demo. Then that was it for me.
But I love what you said. Keep going.
Keep going.
In the meantime, though, keep working on your craft.
Yeah.
Because when that opportunity comes, you need to be able to just
there.
Right?
Yes.
Awesome stuff.
Yes.
We're going to play out with the biggest song of
2017.
Spring, summer 2017.
The song that might get us evicted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks
the
for
song that
through,
you
stay man.
Requesting you the
so
DJ
much.
To play.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much, you guys.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
CliffCentral.com.